This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to the Hannah Whitten Show. Today I have with me Jazza John.
Hello. Greetings.
Greetings.
How are you, dear?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. You're a welcome break from like revision and essay writing at the moment because I'm in the middle of a blooming master's. Why I did that to myself,
good.
I don't know. But I desperately need the hummus and the celery that we have on our desk right now.
Yes.
As like a mental break.
I'm just going to paint a picture for you guys. I have a FUBAR Radio mug with Sarah's name on it. This isn't, I do have my own FUBAR Radio mug, but this one is Sarah's. And
you know you've made it when you get your own mug.
I know. Mm. And also, I asked Jazza what snacks he would like. He said, is hummus too posh?
I am painfully, this and prohibitively middle class.
This is the most middle class FUBAR recording I've ever done.
I like to think that I'm making the place more classy just by being here.
But we have Doritos and not like kettle chips.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of disappointed when you suggested Doritos, and I'm like, okay, but like, fine, I'll play along.
How dare you? Oh my god, but Jazz is not even just like, he's got like a whole thing of celery, but he's just left a bit of celery in the hummus.
Yeah, it's nice. It's like as if I'm burning incense. That's kind of like the look that it's
going for. I don't understand
for.
What the ambiance is. Am I supposed to be feeling something? I don't know.
Tell me if you do later. We'll talk about it.
Okay. celery. Interesting. just a bit of housekeeping for you, dear listeners. This is actually a pre-record, just being brutally honest with you. We're not actually here live. I'm really sorry.
Oh, you've broken the illusion now.
Well, the thing is that you can tweet if you want to tweet. I will be online and I will be responding to said tweets.
You'll be on the line checking.
But it means that, you know, we can't do that right now, which is really sad.
I'm emotional about it.
I know. Mm. But also, Hannah, currently, as you're listening to this, is in Los Angeles, so she doesn't give a fuck.
That's really weird that you're using the third person to refer to the future self.
What should I do?
I don't know, but I just think that's very interesting. Because often when people refer to themselves in the third person, they're like, you know, Donald Trump.
Oh, you just compared me to Donald Trump.
No. I did, didn't I? I'm so sorry. But only in that sense. In all of the other ways,
just
you're wonderful.
Just in the way that I use grammar. Yeah. That's fine, I guess. I don't know. Oh. But Jazza, do you have any idea what you've gotten yourself into this afternoon?
I did homework. So I listened to Ash Hardell's show, mm-hmm. which was the last one at the current point of recording.
2 weeks ago.
Which was 2 weeks ago, now that you're hearing to it. Hearing to it?
Hearing.
Now you're hearing it now.
Well, your grammar's pretty dodgy too.
Yeah, screw you. And I have an idea of, like, also, Hannah, frankly, mm-hmm. it's content revolving around you, so I kind of know what tone is going to be set. Don't I?
Yes, you know me well enough. But just to give you an idea, we've got a few little games and segments and stuff coming up. We have songs about sex, dirty talk, asking for a friend, position impossible.
Oh, that one I'm genuinely actually really looking forward to.
Good, me too.
I play along when I'm listening to the podcast. It's brutal.
Amazing. And also we are going to be playing Drunk Advice for the last 30 minutes of the show. And I'm very excited.
We're going
to
be popping my drunk advice cherry because we've known each other for how long and I've still not appeared on a drunk advice. It's fine.
I'm sorry.
I won't like hold it against you. I know that you're like really busy and prioritise like others above me. But fine, fuss ever.
Vos ever. It's fine. If you do want to tweet in during the show, you can tweet at FUBAR Radio or tweet me at Hannah Whitten or Jazza.
At Jazza John.
Hey, and we will see all your tweets. Jazza, who are you? Explain.
You've just appeared in this studio and I have no idea who you are. So my name's Jazza. It is my real life birth given name. There's quite a lot of people who still assume that my name is John, but like it's fine. I've dealt with that for the past 27 years of my life. It's okay.
You're like, I'm over it.
Yeah, so
move on.
I'm a bit of an old school YouTuber. I'm one of the dinosaurs. I started in 2007. This is my 10-year anniversary.
Yikes.
I have no plans to do anything.
Let's let it pass.
But I talk about queer stuff, politics, social issues on YouTube.
And more recently, cross-dressing whilst lip-syncing.
Yeah. So I am now doing harkbacks to the golden years of like the best years of YouTube of like 2007, 2008, when the site was populated with people lip-syncing to videos.
Yeah.
Golden
years.
Think the Numa Numa Man. As an example. But I have decided to start lip syncing to songs and occasionally wearing lipstick and beautiful blue dresses that really bring out my eyes.
It was a really great dress and great lipstick.
You know how much that dress cost? £5 at Primark. It was in the blooming sale and I grabbed it. Bargain. Absolute bargain. And it's the main reason that I did the video, to be honest.
I love it. And I loved that when you were dancing around, it would ride up ever so slightly and you could see your boxers.
I did try my very best to wear matching underwear, but the blue of the underwear
wasn't quite
slightly
the same.
Different. And I think it made me look slightly cheap, which isn't really my aesthetic. But but you know what? That video's out there now and it's going to follow me around, I mean, everywhere.
Until the end of time.
Until
the end of time. And why did you make that one? That the one in the blue dress specifically. Called breakup therapy.
like the whole series that I there's like three or four videos of me lip syncing to songs now, and it's called Lip Sync Therapy. Mm-hmm. Is like the series. I tried to make a hashtag, but nobody used it. But
I'll use it.
Cheers, bro. But I do, like, it's lip syncing to songs is something that I do in my room when I'm having, like, a tough time as a way of, like, getting energy out.
Yeah.
And when I'm frustrated at the world, that first song that we heard as we just came on air.
Chop Suey
was the first song that I did. And it is, like, my therapy song. It's the one that I, like, scream at the top of my lungs.
I love it.
And,
like, I'm sure lots of people can relate.
Yeah. I'd like to think so. But this most recent one was because I got broken up with on New Year's Day after a 2-year relationship.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell everyone how it happened specifically?
Yeah. So we'd been on holiday.
It was just going to be like weed.
we had just been on holiday and we were coming back via Seoul in Korea. Mm-hmm. And I was broken up with while we were in transit waiting to get on a 14-hour flight.
Oh.
And I still feel angry about it.
Did you manage to get any sleep?
No, I just watched Bridget Jones's Baby on loop for 14 hours. It gradually gets worse and worse, just so you know.
Okay. I've seen it and I enjoyed it, so I'll not watch it again.
It may have
again.
Been the circumstances surrounding it. Uh-huh. And this is no shade against my ex. He's a lovely guy, but I was broken up with. So there.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, moving on.
As breakup stories go, that one's pretty...
Yeah, so I have... I've been telling people, expecting people to find it funny, and I've generally... Because I think that in retrospect, like, tragedy plus time equals...
Great anecdote.
Hilariousness, yeah. Right? But I've just generally had people respond with, like, a look of horror of, oh, God. but I'm like, no, it's fine. Silver linings. I can now wear lipstick and dresses and turn that into content.
Art.
Yes. Take your broken heart and turn it into art. And that's what Carrie Fisher said.
That is what Carrie Fisher said.
R.I.P.
Those noises. They came from somewhere.
I bring up Trump in the first 2 minutes, bring up Carrie Fisher's Princess. Death in the first 10.
So one of the things that we do for new guests is we initiate them by searching their name on Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. So I
feel this might be quite interesting because
Jazza is an odd name.
Yeah. Let's find out.
I have done this a long time ago.
Oh, wow, this is funny.
Really?
Okay.
Amazing.
So, do you want to read the definition?
I would love to. So,
and then
Jazza.
I'll read the using it in a sentence.
Yeah, so Jazza. The name Jazza refers to somebody who's amazingly awesome.
Great. And how to use this in a sentence would be, wow, I wish I was Jazza so I could get all those hot chicks.
Dear listener, in case you haven't realised by now, I'm really gay.
So gay.
So if you were like me, I mean, chances of action with the ladies probably reasonably low.
Quite low. But there might be a straight jazzer out there. Any straight jazzers listening?
Strazzers.
Strazzers. Oh, what does that just make you? Like a gazer?
Yeah, well, that's what people have assumed my name is in the past. Because, you know, Paul Gascoigne.
Hard J.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And but in Spain, they can't pronounce jazzer because there's not really a J. Yeah. So they just called me Manuel when I worked in Barcelona. It was just easier.
Are you joking? They actually just called you Manuel.
Yeah, yeah, I was Manuel.
Why can't you just been like, what's the equivalent of John? Being like
Juan.
Juan.
Because I worked in a bar where a lot of the patrons were fans of Fawlty Towers, and they found it hilarious that an English guy had come over to work in a bar, and they wanted me to be the English version of Manuel.
That's amazing.
I just embraced it.
I love it. Okay, we're going to chat some more right after this song, but I feel like I just really want to give this song some context. Jazza just did a giddy dance, which you can't see.
It was beautiful.
So it was my birthday party last weekend on...
just Happy Hearth Day.
Thank you. It's actually my birthday party on Sunday, the 19th of February, which when you're listening to this, it will already be my birthday. So if you tweet me happy birthday, late fake fan.
I'm
brutal.
You're
I know.
Absolutely brutal. Feel free to wish me a happy birthday whenever you want, listeners.
When is your birthday?
It's the 16th of May.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to remember that.
No, you won't. You know what, Hannah? I have notifications for your birthday on my Google Calendar.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's because
Did I put it in?
No, I think it's because we emailed once and it just automatically...
We emailed once.
And so, like, I was looking through, like, oh, what's coming up in the next couple of weeks? And there's a whole day blocked out for your birthday. I'm like, she's not even going to be here.
But, okay. So at my birthday party, this song came on and I saw Jazza trying really hard to interpretive dance with Kaylee.
By trying really hard, do you mean successfully?
Well, she wasn't really giving you much.
Yeah, it was
in terms of in conversation, in terms of the conversation of the dance. And so Kaylee just sat down and then I butted in. I was like, I'll be your dance partner. But I didn't say it with words. I said it with movements.
Yeah, there was no verbal exchange between the two of
there
us.
Was
there was
not.
Just electric chemistry.
And we just danced our heart out to this song quite dramatically.
Yeah, I mean, I had several double gin and tonics.
You picked me up at one point.
I did. We writhed around on the floor.
Yeah,
beautiful things
did.
Happened.
Also, this was very much towards the end of the party, so the room was quite empty. And it was just me and Jazza, like, doing, like, leaps around the room.
Mm-hmm. Lots of spiral hand motions.
Yeah, and then there was a line of my friends. Not a crowd, just a single line watching us. And then... we ended the dance by dramatically falling to the ground and pretending to die.
End scene,
fade to black. And one person in this line of people just was like...
I was happy we got one, to be completely honest.
So I just want to share with you that song that we danced to. And maybe me and Jazza will do a little dance in the studio. We'll see.
We won't.
FUBAR Radio is proud to be an official partner of Stan and Calling 2017. This year's festival is taking place from the 27th to the 30th of July, with a lineup which includes
Orbital, Clean Bandit, Slaves,
Akala,
Nadia Rose,
as well as DJ sets from
Mike Skinner and Merkage, Joe Collard from Hot Chip,
and Faithless. FUBAR Radio will be bringing the hottest stand-up talent to the brand new comedy stage, featuring James Acaster. For more information and to buy tickets, go to www.standandcalling.com and keep listening to FUBAR Radio for exclusive offers and giveaways in the lead-up to this summer's big event. FUBAR Radio, an official partner of Stand and Calling.
You heard it! FUBAR Radio is an official partner of Stand and Calling, which is a music and comedy festival, and I'm eating Doritos. I always do this. I never time it.
I was going to give you some feedback on that. In previous episodes, you can hear the mastication quite clearly.
Can you?
Yeah.
Anyway, you can get your tickets now! Get your tickets! It's at the end of July. Comedy, music, Stand and Calling. Sweet. I'm so sorry about Midwinters. I'm really sorry, dear listeners.
So I was just before we came back on, I was scrolling down the bottom of my Urban Dictionary page for Jazza. I'm going to call it mine. There are obviously other Jazzes in the world, but I'm claiming this as my own. And some of the other definitions are brilliant. I am a big meanie head who takes picture of everyone and, oh my God, then picture bad.
Them picture are bad. But also everyone is spelled E-V-R-Y 1, the number 1. And then this one is my favourite. A homosexual male. I don't think I can say that.
I can. Okay. Batty man.
Yeah, I just realised. I was like, wait, no, I don't think I'm allowed.
And then the example is, you're a bender, Neil, you jazzer. And I'm like, that's probably more accurate than the one that assumes that I'm going to get all the girls.
At least they got your sexual orientation correct.
That's very nice of them to do so. Very respectful.
God damn that heteronormativity.
Not on Urban Dictionary.
No, there's all of the options. All of the options. So, Jazza, I'm just going to make people listen to
to our
actual catch-up. I know, because I feel like I saw you on my birthday, but I was not...
Yeah, I mean, we interpretive danced, but you were there milling around all of your friends. It's fine.
Yeah.
I sounded bitter then, but I really wasn't.
It's fine. So, how are you? And you're doing a master's at the moment.
I did. Why did I do this, Hannah? I'm 27 years old, which is not... Usually people will go straight from an undergrad, or at least very often they will do so. So I'm now surrounded by people who are, like, between 5 and 7 years younger than me, and even, like, the undergrads...
I thought that was just you, like, kind of... trying to express how young these people are, and you're like between 5.
No, but there are undergrads around me, and they are literally nearly 10 years younger than 10 years younger than me, and they call me granddad because I'm
you also have
old
a massive
and bearded.
Beard, yeah.
Yeah, it needs to be tamed slightly. But I'm off back to uni, doing it part time so I can side hustle.
I just hit the mic. I'm terribly sorry. You're in your like first year though, aren't you?
So I'm doing 2
part-time is 2 years. What is your master's in?
I'm doing social sciences of the internet. Shut up, listener. It is a real thing. But I'm so
I mean like
I basically
it's a hot, the internet is like just part of life now.
It's this up and coming thing. I think it's going to be really big in the next few years.
So what specifically? I saw on Instagram you posted something about like learning to code.
Oh mate, it's the biggest mistake I've ever made. It's so hard.
Is that a compulsory module or did you?
It is something compulsory that I have to do. I also have to learn statistics at some point. Excuse me while we just vomit a little bit. But this is why I'm doing a master's, because I want to be a better human being and I want to grow and, like, improve myself. What a noble person I am.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it at the University of Oxford.
Oh, well, aren't you clever? Do you have to be clever to get into their master's programmes? Because obviously we all... We all know that getting into Oxbridge like undergrad is like
Hannah, that was so shady. It's like, so how did you get in?
Do you have to be clever?
Do you have to be clever? Because Exhibit A, you. I don't know, but I feel like the reason
was
that I got in.
Competition.
Yes, there was bloody competition. I'm actually. It's incredibly intimidating, and I get imposter syndrome loads because although I'm a white, middle class, privately educated male.
Are a statistic.
So Oxford is built for people like me, and I feel out of place all of the time. Like, people have to wear robes. Get out my little violin. But it's, you're surrounded... Like, it's brilliant, because you're surrounded by, like, some of the cleverest people in the world. But also, I'm like, why the fuck am I here? They're idiots. They've made a mistake. I need to just leave. But it's, a very big opportunity, and I'm really, thank you, Oxford.
Yeah. How come you chose to do your master's in that area? Like, what ideally are you trying to get out of it at the end?
Book deal.
PhD?
I'd hate to do a PhD because that's like at least 4 years of killing yourself with academia, and that doesn't sound like fun.
No.
Although Dr. Jazza does have a great ring to it.
It wouldn't be Dr. Jazza though. it would be
Dr. That's how I would. That's how I would insist that people called me. Thank you. So I saw the way that academia covered the YouTube community, mm-hmm. and I was like, guys, you're missing out on like big swathes of like how the culture works, and how people organize, how people earn money, and the community that I've mm-hmm. been part of for like a decade, and I wanted to be able to give academia the access to the community that I am lucky enough to have, and I felt like I wanted to.
Are you gonna like write the first academic YouTube book?
So that already exists, but it was published in 2009.
And wait, what's it called? My dad might have bought it for me. No,
it's called YouTube, I think. By Jean Burgess, who's a fantastic academic in Australia. Yeah, I wanted to do a master's.
It's going
to
need a bit updating, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, she's bringing out another book. This has all become like academic talk, which doesn't seem very on brand.
I love academia.
Thanks, dude.
I got a first in my degree that was a history degree.
Do you have to be clever to get a first?
You have to be organised. I don't know about clever.
Yeah. Jump through some hoops.
One or the other.
Fine.
Or the other.
But I basically wanted to do the YouTube community justice and do that by, so I have to do some research.
Looking out for us.
Yeah, I have to do research on us. I've started interviewing like a load of our friends for academic purposes, which is odd because I'm like, we have to behave now. I have to be a proper interviewer. But it's,
do you need
it's,
to interview me?
Would you like to?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Awesome. We won't do it
right now. That's really interesting though. I've always thought about going back to uni and doing a master's.
Like every other day, I am questioning why are you doing this. Being in that environment and learning again, like being around people who are there to like learn shit for the love of learning stuff is brilliant, and it's
that's what I really want.
And sometimes I get a bit annoyed when like exam season comes around and people are like, oh yeah, don't bother going to uni, uni's a load of rubbish. And there are a lot of people on YouTube, especially because there's people who went straight from school into YouTubing full time, and they'll be like, oh yeah, you don't need to go to university, but I feel like it's one of the best experiences that you can have, and if you have the opportunity and if you're able to go, you definitely should. But that's just my
because
opinion.
Of the amount of learning that you do, and all, and like when I was at uni, it's not just like I did a history degree, and so people are like, oh, so you know like when all these things happened and you can list all of our kings and queens? No. Absolutely not. My degree wasn't about like learning facts and dates and people and events and things like that, but what I have gotten out of it is just like theories and how I think now, and being able to like ask questions.
Yeah. And of course, if you're not academic, then that is fine. But I went to a school that basically forced an awful lot of people to go to university.
Sure.
And not everybody there should have gone to university because it wasn't their thing. But there was like this compulsion to do it. And I think that what we need is to have a wider array of options. But if you have the opportunity of having that experience and you think that experience is good for you, bloody do it, man. Don't let anybody else decide it for you.
On that great note, I thought that I'd bring us on to the segment about how, do you know that I wrote a book?
Oh, really? Oh, that's so, I haven't heard.
It's called Doing It. It's out on the 6th of April.
Oh, that's very cool.
You can pre-order it now. I'm also going on tour the week after the book is out. London,
I'm really excited for the tour,
Manchester,
by the way.
Birmingham, yes.
Yeah.
Please come.
I know I will.
And so this segment is called Book Plug or Butt Plug, where
long did it take to come up with the name of the segment, Hannah?
Oh, like I think I came up with the name of the segment first, and then and then I was like, what could this game be? So what I'm gonna do is I'm going to play you something and you have to guess if it is a book plug or a butt plug. And dear listeners, please tweet us as well during the next song what you think it is. And then after the next song is played, I will reveal. And also, Jazza, you have to guess too.
Excellent. I can't wait.
Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Okay. There we go.
Is that Morse code?
That is Morse code, but now you have to guess.
I only know SOS.
Is that a book plug or a butt plug?
Ooh.
Find out. after this song.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Okay, Jazza, are you ready to find out what it was, book plug or butt plug? Do you want to hear it again?
I would like to hear it again, because I'm actually going to pay attention this time.
Okay, ready? I see you trying to count letters.
I tried to count, and I'm like,
it's
I would have not.
I
would not have been good.
I didn't realise Morse code was this fast.
They, apparently, I wouldn't have been very good in World War II.
I'm going to do it slow for you.
Oh, okay.
Boop, 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 boop. Boop, 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 boop.
I've come to the realisation, Hannah, that I can't count.
Boop, boop, boop.
I'm going to say that's butt plug.
Yeah!
Yay!
Well done, gold star for Jess.
That is butt plug in Morse code, everybody. Okay, Abby is with us.
Hello.
Woo! Okay, we're gonna play a game. You ready for the first game?
Butt plug
the game?
That's a game. I'm so excited for this. This is what I've been looking forward to more than anything.
Yeah. This is Position Impossible.
Position Impossible.
Yeah! I love
Everybody
it.
In the studio was just like shaking their shoulders.
Can't help it.
Yeah.
So the way that this game works is that Abby has got a list of sex positions. Some are real, some are false, some are made up.
Mm-hmm.
That have come from Abby's brain. Maybe some other people's brains, but like, I think what we just need to, we'll just pin it on Abby.
Yeah. So we'll be judging you rather than anybody else.
What happens.
Cool, excellent. I'm down.
And if we think it is real, then we also have to try and describe what we think the position is.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Ready. We are ready.
Okay. Kicking it off with Joyride.
Oh, that's got to be a real one.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think it is?
Okay.
Joyride is definitely.
So, in my case,
I'm so into this. I told you.
Did you do research?
I've basically been practicing. Not the joyride. I reckon this is. So I'm going to think in gay terms, like the bottom is on top. So the woman is on top. And it's a little bit like reverse cowgirl cowboy.
Like holding the legs like a steering wheel.
Yes. Yeah. There's some kind of steering wheel involved. And
the dick is the gear stick.
It is the... But then how... I reckon so there's penetration.
We is have there to say anything to do with the car?
It's not even real. It's never gone that far before, so I was a bit like, how do we approach this by saying you're wrong?
It's those guys.
We're wrong. Oh, well. Well, oh, we just invented one. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that out when I'm
that
next on
really
Tinder.
That was really creative.
Thanks. You.
I did a BA.
not creative enough for a point, though. So.
No.
God damn it.
Okay, the next one is iron.
Oh, God.
Oh, this will... So somebody's going to be an ironing board. And somebody's going to be, like, lying on top of the ironing board.
Are you just going to say they're all sex positions just for the sake of, like, exploring
Hannah, that makes it fun. Why are you not being fun? Is it penetrative?
So you're saying it... Yes. Okay, point for both because it is real.
Okay.
It is penetrative, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. And is it somebody pretending to be an ironing board?
Iron.
Unfortunately, no.
Is it anything to do with an ironing board?
No. Not
the iron. So I'm like,
there's no object.
Iron. Is it like FE?
What's FE?
FE is the periodic
female
element symbol for iron.
Oh, that's really good, actually. You can tell you got a first. Bloody hell.
Not in science.
I was like, female ejaculation?
No. Capital F, lowercase e.
Periodic
table.
Does it look like an object? Are people contorted into an object?
No. I do have a hint. Both people are sat down. But one is more like kneeling with their arms. Kneeling with their knees up.
No, you've lost
Not
me.
Not kneeling. Okay. Like sat on their butt with their knees up, sorry.
Is the person who is being penetrated that person? Knees
with
up.
The knees, yes.
Knees up. And so basically, if you're... there's a camera right there and I've got a skirt on. I'm like trying to demonstrate. Do not flash, Hannah. So the person, they've got their knees up. Which basically, if they can pull their legs up further enough, then like hole is available.
a range of holes available.
Take
hole
your pick.
Is available. I'm going to say that in my next hookup. Hole is available.
And so then if the other person is like sat down but with their legs spread,
mm-hmm.
then they can get right in there.
I hope that's not the noise it makes for you, Hannah. Bloody hell.
No, you're perfectly right, yeah. You're spot on.
Why, but Abby, was that an iron?
Maybe they're in the shape of an iron, not the ironing board.
Honestly, the Kama Sutra is a very confusing place and thing. Like, I look on it every week for this show and I'm just like, I don't get it.
Can we see the picture?
Yes, you can see the picture. And as you are looking, I'll read out the description I've got for the audience.
Oh, wait, she's
at
backwards.
Home.
I was not expecting her to be backwards.
Oh, really? Okay.
No,
so
no, we still got the point.
We still got
the
point.
Yeah, you still get the point.
But
so the person with the penis sits down, back straight, legs slightly bent in the knees, driven widely apart. Their partner sits between the legs on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
But also, but
Jazz's face is just like confused.
Facing away from the.
Is this anal?
It can be, but the vagina's really close to the butthole.
Yeah, like the position of the vagina always confuses me.
Mm. Aww, that's cute. Mm.
I only recently found out that doggy style for straight couples isn't necessarily anal.
Well, yeah. Correct.
Like, maybe I need to be reading Doing It when it comes out. Now available on Amazon and
you can
other
pre-order
book thingies.
Now.
Yeah, blah. You're welcome, Hannah.
So normally what I do during this show is I Snapchat the pictures of the sex toys, but obviously this is a pre-record. So I've just taken a picture of it and I will try and remember to post it up on Snapchat when this is going live. Mm-hmm. So you can check that for the actual image.
Okay.
Next.
Next. Unicorn.
I'm a unicorn.
I want to say yes, just because Jazza wants this to be fun. So.
Oh, yeah, no, so unicorn is definitely, definitely.
You're sat on their face because it's like their face is the horn.
So all I'm thinking is there, are there toys involved?
No.
Oh,
is
okay,
it
that's
oral
my
sex?
Theory out the window.
That's everything.
Is it oral?
No, it's penetrative.
Penetrative.
I guess because there's the
horn.
So the penis is the horn.
Yeah, essentially.
Okay, so how does one?
They have tried to use another part of the body as the horn. That's the only thing I can get from it.
What are they just like holding their hand above their head so that they look like their silhouette looks like a unicorn?
It's not on their on their head, but something is sticking up.
Not on their head.
Not on their head.
Something is sticking up that's not a penis.
Yeah.
Nipples.
No.
Oh my god.
Can we have another clue?
What the hell sticks up?
Yeah, so it's quite like a normal position.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Can you define normal, please, Annie?
This is true. No, I would say it's quite a common one.
Okay.
It's not
have you
personally
done the unicorn?
Yes. But it's not like a...
Do you reckon Hannah's done the unicorn?
Yes.
Foot.
Can gay men do the unicorn?
Yes.
Well, I just want to try it now.
What is sticking up if it's not an erection?
You're going to kick yourself.
Is it kicking yourself?
Close.
Fingers. Toes.
They just got like a peace sign or something.
Yeah. Heads, shoulders,
knees and toes.
And toes. Knees and toes.
There's a leg in the air.
Why is there a leg in the air?
Because I guess that's the only thing that is pointing up. Do you know what I mean?
Is it like person being penetrated is lying down,
mm-hmm.
and then one of their legs, maybe both their legs, but let's just say one, mm-hmm. is up, so it's like resting on the person's chest/shoulder.
Yeah, and it opens up the pelvis.
Yeah, but it basically makes it look like their foot.
Oh,
is
that's just
on
like
the
see?
Other
that's just like normal unicorn. Sex.
Exactly. That's what.
Yeah.
That's
what is normal?
Mm. It's just like exactly on the side sex, isn't it? Like,
oh, they're on their sides.
Yeah, they're on their sides.
Oh.
Okay. It's a good technique for anal sex to relax the butthole so that penetrative sex is easier.
Oh.
You're welcome.
I'll read the description
for
people at home.
Yeah, this is not what I had in my head, but...
Oh, okay. So, penis person... This is what I've actually put. Penis person lies on this side. The other person has the back to them with one leg raised.
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you go. There's the picture.
Yeah, Toad's done that.
Yeah, it's not too adventurous, but...
That's,
I don't
but
think
why
I've done
unicorn?
That. I've done variations, but maybe not, like, not specifically lying on the side with the leg in that position.
Well, you're welcome. You can try that next time.
Oh, yeah, I recommend.
I always get so much inspiration from this segment.
No, I give it about 8 out of 10.
Okay, swiftly moving on to cupcake.
Oh, that sounds filthy.
Is that something to do with tits?
No, that's something to do with vaginas. Right? Because gay men don't eat cupcakes. 2 calories. Perpetuating stereotypes.
So you're saying it is a sex position?
No.
I want to know what Jazza thinks it is, but I don't think it is a sex position.
Okay.
I reckon, does it involve bodily fluids in any way, shape or form?
Icing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Icing.
Stuff that perhaps looks like icing.
No.
Oh, in which case, yeah, I'm stumped.
It's not real.
Knew it.
That's a shame.
Another point.
Oh, we against each other? I thought we were a joint team against Abby.
Abby's taking points down, so.
Oh, well.
Bring it.
This last one is just got real.
Oh, my God.
Got one more left, and Jazz is like, oh, my God.
No, I'm like, where are we standing now? Because I'm overly competitive.
You want to know the score so
far?
Yeah. It's 3-2, so it's tight.
But to who?
Ooh. Hannah.
Hannah's...
Okay, right. So the last one. Hucklebuck.
Hucklebuck?
Mm-hmm. Oh, bugger off.
I don't think you made that up. I think that's real. But I don't know
Hucklebuck.
What is a hucklebuck? I don't even know what a hucklebuck is. Mm. What is a hucklebuck?
I'm going to say that's not real.
Okay, and Hannah, you're saying it is real. Okay, go on, give us a whirl, Hannah. What do you think it is?
I don't know what a hucklebuck is. Is it not a thing. It's not a thing.
No.
Okay, I think it's doggy style, but with, like, riding gear. Like a horse.
Okay, are you basing that purely on buck?
That. Yep.
Buck, that's a horse term.
Yeah. Okay, so you were right, it is.
Oh.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we already know.
What is it?
As a hint, it's oral.
Ooh.
Oh, that doesn't sound like it's fun.
Oral
hucklebuck.
Honestly, I'm not going to lie, this position is very awkward.
Oral on a penis or a vag?
Vaginal.
Vag.
No, I've checked out already. Not interested.
Okay, so just give you a hint. The person giving the oral to the other person is lying down.
Okay, on
the person giving oral to the other person is lying down,
mm-hmm.
and the person receiving said cunnilingus is on is their face.
Yeah, is it sitting on their face?
So is it like a reverse cowgirl on someone's face?
It's like the fetal position on someone's face.
Calling it the fetal position is
I know,
just a bit wrong.
That wasn't even my description. That was a description online.
Thanks, internet.
Yeah, so it is the person...
Wait, they get 69 from there. But
yeah,
this. Oh, my God. The person receiving right now needs to do some good squatting beforehand to...
Oh, God,
like,
the air.
Be able to stay in that position.
Yeah, so...
Need some good thigh muscles.
What I did, this position as well, it's not even 69. Apparently, they're not even doing stuff to each other. It's just to the person who's crouched over.
I mean, that's just laziness, isn't it, really?
I mean, well, while you're there.
The thing about 69ing, though, is that you can never concentrate enough.
Yeah.
So you're both going to be getting, like, a half-assed bit of oral.
No, you're not doing it right. So the...
Well, I can never concentrate.
So the person receiving the cunnilingus in this has their hair, like, on top of the person with the penis?
Might as well just use their hair as a
tool.
And
I'm like, that's just... Use it as a tool. In what way, Hannah?
Hair job.
Is that real or is it fake?
doing it out on the sink of the paper.
So person with the penis lies on their back while the second person crouches backwards, almost on top of the person's face. Basically in the fetal position, yeah.
Sounds great. Well, thanks, Abby.
That's okay.
This has been enlightening as ever.
Mm-hmm.
No, I feel cheated. I'm really annoyed.
Yeah,
well,
you did lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
You know, get over it, Jazza. We're going to play a song.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Oh my God!
Genuinely wasn't planned. Incredibly unprofessional of me.
That's
I apologise.
us lol.
Okay, Jazza, are you ready? This is the serious bit of the show, so no more burping like that.
I'm so sorry. I'll set the tone properly.
Okay. Mm. So this bit is called Asking for a Friend. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about taboo topics or whatever. And the one thing that you said you wanted to talk about was body image.
Yeah.
And I think an interesting perspective that maybe you have is like the gay male body image, because mm-hmm. as an outsider looking in, my general perception or the stereotype that I see is that it's like really quite difficult, because like not only are you male but also attracted to men, and so it's like about being sexy and buff and and everyone's like posting selfies and going to the gym.
It's like
I don't know, it's masculinity, I don't know.
So like gay body image is very complicated because of gay men's, and I think also like gay community in general's desire to compartmentalise quite a lot of people, like traditionally at least. Mm-hmm. So growing up, especially, I was really aware of what are often called like gay tribes. So, for example, like otters and bears, twinks, jocks, all of that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. I never really felt like I fitted into any of them. People say that I'm an otter sometimes.
People say that
I have dad bod sometimes. And when I like was less covered in hair, people said that I was a twink. But I never felt like any of those things, really. And then there's kind of like the expectation that, like, you kind of want to look like the thing that you're attracted to, mm-hmm. Which is also something that I found very difficult to kind of deal with, because people that I've been that I generally am attracted to look nothing like me.
Same.
And so, like, well, yes, but then you have the lines of gender binary that yep. can like reinforce that. And also there is, so a lot of this now seeps into straight male culture as well, where mm-hmm. Cases of male anorexia, cases of like male bulimia as well, and body image and steroid use amongst mm-hmm. Like young men in the UK especially yeah. has skyrocketed. Now my cousins, who are about 10 years younger than me, who are like 18 and 18 and 16, they drink protein shakes and go to the gym now. And I didn't start going. I just wasn't even aware that the gym was a thing for a while. I just did sport and that was the exercise that I did. Mm-hmm. But now there's such a desire to look like a particular body type. And Instagram is to blame. And also just like society.
I do think Instagram is like slightly to blame too, though.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to kind of go back to the categories, because
mm-hmm.
I've heard about all these categories and I've never known like how much people, they're just like a joke.
No, they're very
people like
real.
Take them seriously. Like,
no, very
like, because I know that in terms like on gay dating apps or whatever, sometimes people can be like quite rudely and maybe even like verging, or not even verging, but just full on racist in terms of the way that they like put their preferences.
Yeah, there's the stereotype of no fats, no femmes, no Asians.
Yeah.
Which is it's a very closed-minded way of going about your dating life. And I'm not going to tell people who I think that they should find attractive. But when you're blocking off a whole race, there is no way that there isn't prejudice behind that.
Yeah.
And people hide behind that, oh, it's personal preference. And I'm like, look at yourself. You know? And there's also misogyny manifests itself in the gay male community a huge amount. Femininity in gay men is made fun of and chastised for being overly feminine. The hypermasculine,
mask for mask.
Yeah, you have mask for mask. I hashtag mask 5 mask because I'm really funny and I do like social commentary. You end up with people like desiring to be hyper masculine in the way that they present themselves.
Yeah.
So wearing like the plaid button down shirt, growing beards, and like going to the gym a lot, using steroids if they feel particularly bad about their own bodies, because there is a desire to be desirable by other men, and hyper masculine and high muscle mass, low body fat is presented as an ideal on the front of like Gay Times and like even Attitude. I love Attitude as a magazine, but they present very unrepresentative types of male bodies on their covers,
and that's like what most you wouldn't see. Have what is probably known as a bear like on the front cover.
There are obviously certain magazines that do that, but they're niches, and the mainstream queer culture celebrate. I think there is currently a shift happening when it comes to body hair, and I think that that's actually really good, because I was definitely under pressure when I was younger to shave off my body hair, and I did. But now I've kind of like, I let it grow. Because like it's who I am, and I quite like being 30. No, sorry.
It's not 2013, Hannah.
But body image is something that I've dealt with loads growing up, because I'm not naturally lean, and I'm not naturally hugely muscular. Like, I have a bit of what people call a dad bod, which I hate and despise.
The phrase or your body?
I feel really good about my body at the moment.
Cool. Yes, I've seen you make a couple of videos about body image where you've like been topless in them, and as a kind of like,
yeah, that's terrifying.
Breaking down those fears.
Mm-hmm. So I've felt terrible about my body for about a year after I like put on a certain I put on about 5 kilos, and I wasn't attracted by what I saw in the mirror. Mm. Didn't matter to me that other people found me attractive. I was like, how could anybody find you attractive, Jazza? Yeah. And there's a lot of self-loathing that happens. Mm-hmm. This has changed in the last few months quite dramatically, because I've started playing organised sport again. I've started rowing and boxing again.
Fun! Through uni?
Through uni, oh, yes. So because good. Those kind of clubs are like prolific. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you have like community around them, and I love the guys
that's
that
what
I
want to do.
I
want to join
sport
a sports
with.
Team, but I don't have the time to commit to the same time every week.
I used to kid myself that, oh, it doesn't matter to me, I go to the gym all the time when I was a lot leaner. I go to the gym all the time because I want to be useful, because I want to be strong, because I want to be flexible. It was a load of bullshit. It was all vanity. And now I actually feel like my body is useful. My body is strong. My body is getting better at doing what it's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have never felt better about the way that
good.
I look. And I'm not lean, and I don't have a six pack, and I probably never will have a six pack.
Yeah.
Because that isn't actually something that is incredibly common in men in general. And often it very much depends on your genetics, because men naturally deposit a lot of their fat around their stomachs, whereas women deposit it around their breasts and their hips.
Well, for all them babies!
For them babies.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that was lovely.
Yeah, I ranted a bit, sorry.
No, but it's good to hear, because I don't really, I can talk for days about, female body image stuff. And I think it's really interesting to hear it from, I don't want to say the other side, because I feel like that's, buying into the binary. But
yeah, screw the binary.
Fuck the binary. Would you like to introduce the next song, which is your song about sex?
Yeah, oh, I'd love to. So this is from a band from South Africa called Freshly Ground. The way that I found out about them was in the 2010 World Cup. They sang with Shakira. And they have an amazing portfolio. You should check them out on Spotify. But this is actually a song that ties into body image, where she talks about having an unconventional body but still being sexy.
All right, let's listen to it.
Yeah.
This is Potbelly by Freshly Ground.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Aww.
So that is... I feel like it's less of a traditional song about sex. It's more of a song about making love.
Love
And I think
making.
That every now and again we need to remember that sex isn't just fucking. Sex is being intimate with the person that you care about.
Sometimes
it is just about fucking.
Cool. Let's dissect these lyrics. I'd never heard this before as well, and that was beautiful.
It is a gorgeous song.
I love a good kind of female vocal funky song.
Yeah,
that's my jam.
She's brilliant. And I really like the fact that it's very much her owning like her sexiness. And you can, and I think especially...
Fat thighs, flabby arms, a pot belly still gives good loving.
I mean, she repeats it about like 30 times in the song. Okay. So if you didn't get that message, then you're doing something wrong. But she very much, I think it's really empowering and like important for me as well to know that you don't have to look like the guys in porn to be sexy and to give good loving and to be able to be intimate with somebody and all of the important parts of a relationship. Like sex is one of them, but also there's more to it than just sex, you know. And I think that that's
being
a really beautiful
and
And like
looking
there's
each other in the eye,
and sex doesn't always have to be sticking your willy in something. Sex can be like being intimate in so many different ways. And I think that that's what this song kind of talks about. For me,
absolutely.
Anyway.
I really love the line where it's like, it's just getting better. Because I love, and I really believe that in terms of like the more you have sex with someone, the better it's going to get.
Only the deeper you fall in love, the more that you're gonna like be into it.
And also just the
and
more
also practice.
Practice, absolutely, practice is a thing. And then also just the more comfortable you become with someone, you can be like, oh, I fancy trying this, or I've never thought about this, or like da da da. And you can be like open to those things together without that fear of rejection, which often happens when you're like, oh, I want to try these things, but I'm scared about bringing it up.
I really like the fact that it says after breakfast, after dinner time, it still gives good loving, like a pot belly still gives a good loving, because sex and food, I think, should be put together all of the time.
All of the time.
I am a bit weird, though, because I do like savoury.
I'm such a savoury I'm such a savoury snacker.
Yeah, man. Give me a pork pie and a blowjob any day.
Don't say that when I'm about to take a drink. I like almost took a gulp and spat everywhere. Oh my god. Oh god.
Very good. Just that was Hannah taking a sip.
I love that. Where does it say? Oh yeah, I see that. After breakfast, after dinner time. That's cute. I like this. I could say I need you. I need you every day and every hour. Have you had relationships or sexual relationships or whatever where you feel a physical craving for the other person?
When I was younger, yeah. My last relationship was definitely less of a fall in love thing, and it was more of a swelling. In like a really good way.
It's fine.
In a really good way. Like it was kind of like something that started off in the pit of my stomach, and then after 6 months or so, I just kind of, it was like carrying around a lead balloon of like, oh, I care about this person.
Yeah.
Rather than like in the past, I've definitely fallen head over heels and been very irrational and made excuses for people who didn't necessarily treat me right. And so that was, that last relationship was a really nice change to also the stereotype of, oh my God, we glanced at each other and we fell deeply in love. And I think that that doesn't work for everybody. And it's certainly, like, it's the story of my parents when they met. It was a gradual falling in love over 10 years rather than a we're meant to be together forever, like, snap decision. And I love that kind of narrative for romance. But unfortunately, it doesn't sell movies as well.
This is true. I find that the slower burners are usually the most healthy as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That's not to say the like instant love isn't healthy, but I think that you can find that like.
But there are different ways to be able to fall in love. And I think that so often in media portrayals, because it's a handy plot device, you instantly fall in love with somebody. That means that like they can skip a load of like character development in the story and it's quicker. But that tends to be the majority of relationships that we end up seeing on screens and stuff.
Yeah. And then when they do happen in real life, you're like, what? Because my friend's parents went on like 3 dates and got engaged.
That's crazy.
And then 6 months later got married and they're still together like 3 kids and 30
man.
Years later.
Yeah, that's amazing. And
but
like,
they're an anomaly. Yeah. They are the exception.
I mean, our mutual friend Ash, who was on this show, also got engaged and married incredibly quickly.
I think they've been together 3 years.
Yeah. For me, that is just like, Whoa. But they're so happy together, and those kinds of intense romances definitely exist, mm-hmm. but they don't exist for everybody. That's also okay.
I've got other friends that got engaged and married within like 2 years or mm-hmm. something, but they're Christian, so they just wanted to bang.
Is that what they said as well?
No, that's what I said.
Okay.
They did it because they loved each other and they wanted to share their love with God. I say it's that plus the banging.
Cool. Well, I'm happy that they can now bang. And, like, be intimate and give good loving with pot bellies.
Oh, right? Yes. I'm really feeling this right now because I feel like I've got a massive pot belly right now from all those Doritos and the hummus.
Yeah, man, embrace it.
Embrace the pot belly. Still gives good loving. Am I right?
Yes, you are, Hannah.
Other than that, I feel like this song is pretty self-explanatory and has it's just kind of cute. Mm-hmm. It sounds real cute.
Yeah, it is. It's not very on brand because I'm usually seen as a bit of an asshole online, or at least quite blunt. And this is kind of, it's a little bit of my softer side.
You're just like, guys, can we just like stop fucking and just start making love?
Yeah, sometimes you just want to stick this on and like have a box of chocolates and a glass of wine, but not watch Bridget Jones's Baby.
I still really liked that film.
Yeah, watch it 5 times on a plane.
Did you actually?
Yeah, literally watched it 5 times.
Was there nothing else to watch?
There was nothing else to watch.
I don't believe you.
I watched everything else and just had it on loop. So I was like, oh, I'll watch it again. Fine.
Just when it comes up at the end, it's like, exit or watch again? You're like, watch again.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Watch again. Oh, brutal. What did your ex do on that flight?
He's a musician and started writing song lyrics about our breakup.
Which did I was you like, get to have a look at any of them before
Yeah,
you
I looked
landed?
Over and I was thinking of getting, not your best. But I made a video about us breaking up and we're both creative in certain senses.
So it's
and
kind
if
of
you
like...
break up with somebody after like a really great relationship of 2 years, you're going to have to make art about it. And so maybe you might have interpretations about me dressing up in a dress and wearing lipstick and mashing my mouth around to other people's songs about whether or not that's art, but I think so. And like that desire to express yourself after a breakup is like super important and cathartic.
Yes, this is so true.
So he can totally write song lyrics about me. It's fine.
And you can totally make lip sync therapy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Precisely.
Exactly. All right, I'm gonna play this next song. This is one that Jazza has chosen, and I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
It is by Alaska Thunderfuck.
Her full name is Alaska Thunderfuck 5000.
Of course.
From the planet Glamtron.
Yeah. Is this a drag queen by any chance?
Oh, what gave you that impression? Yeah, so this is Alaska. She won RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 2.
Okay.
And was originally in season 5. And this song is called Anus.
Enjoy.
FUBAR Radio presents...
I knew I was heterosexual from when I was 6, when I used to look at the bra section of catalogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Someone threw a bra at Harley and Jordan on stage, innit?
Yeah.
On that tour, I was their support act. Someone threw a bra on the stage at him, and I put the bra on as a joke. Do you know what I mean?
I reckon it was a C cup.
No, I reckon I'd be bigger than that.
No, not you, the bra. No, you'd be a nice D.
I reckon so.
I bet you're
a solid D. That's what she said. There you go.
All right, fine. All of you here would be nice Ds.
I think I have a nice D, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday.
Payne and Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
From 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
All right, Jazz, are you ready for the next game?
I am so ready. I'm really up for this as well.
Me too. I'm excited. Okay, so this is Dirty Talk.
Yes.
I was trying to do my, like, putting on my mank accent again.
Dirty Talk.
Dirty. Anyway, so the way that this game goes is that Abby has put in front of us 3 pieces of paper with words on them that we cannot see. Mm-hmm. Do not look.
I'm not looking. Go. I'm just, like, arranging them. God, Hannah, get off my case.
And we are going to simulate phone sex. With each other.
So I've never done this before.
Do you want to call me or shall I call you?
You call me.
Okay, I'll call you. And the way that it works is that during the phone sex, as we are talking dirty with each other, We have to turn over the card and then see what is on it, the word, and put that word into the conversation. Did you just try and burp again?
Yeah. No, I'm quite gassy.
Is this what celery does to you?
This is apparently what celery and hummus does to me.
Okay.
I still have one in my throat, so I might be burping during our phone sex. But you will be into that.
You will.
You will.
You will
be into that.
Okay, we ready? Mm-hmm.
I forgot that there was music. Christ.
Hey, get in the mood, babe. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ding, 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 ding. Drink, 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 drink.
Oh, hi, Hannah.
Hi, Jazza.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, you know, nothing much. Just hanging out.
Yeah, me too. It's just like a Wednesday afternoon. I'm sat here with my celery and my hummus, and I was thinking about you.
Oh, yeah, that's like totally our thing.
Yeah. Mm. So saucy, that hummus.
So, I mean, it is technically a condiment.
You know how I feel about condiments.
You've always loved it when I talked about condiments.
You know what I say, food and sex.
I have a confession about my condiments.
I'm listening.
I've actually moved on to Marmite now. I know, you love savoury shit.
You know me so well. I love Marmite.
I love it when we lather it onto our pork pies.
The best thing about Marmite is how strong it is. And so you only need like a little bit. And I love pouring different foods and condiments all over your body like a jigsaw. And making, putting all the pieces together on your body as my blank canvas and...
Oh, that's so rude.
You know I'm filthy, baby.
Oh, tell me more about this Marmite jigsaw.
Oh, yeah, so like as it pours all down your body and I... all the
Where is it on my body?
It's on your chest hair.
Oh, yeah.
And as the...
It's going to be a pain to get out later.
It's fine, I'll shower with you, babe. I can't believe you broke then more than me. Keep going. Keep going, baby. Keep going.
Yeah, keep going. Oh, what other condiments do you want to rub on me and make
I was
going to
ask
with?
You. What condiments do you love?
Bribery. Oh, bribery. I love it when we use bribery in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
And you bribe me with, like...
With condiments.
Ginsters.
Yeah. I'm like, I will pour this Marmite on you for some Vegemite.
It's basically the same product, but I'm totally down with that. I love exoticisms.
And then once the Marmite jigsaw on your chest is complete...
Complete.
I will grab that sock puppet. called a Henry that we keep in the cupboard, and he will lick it off you and all off your body. Oh, you know how much you love Henry.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, this has kind of hit me out of the blue, Hannah, because I've never really been into sock puppets before. Who have you been trying this with?
Your brother.
Oh, it's a family affair. Me.
Henry was your brother's imaginary friend.
Okay, you've ruined it now.
Have you got one more?
I don't have any more.
Did you do three? What
I
were
did
your
do three?
Three.
Confession was my first one.
Oh! Yeah. That one I didn't notice.
Thank you. Confession and rude were actually quite easy to get in there. Bribery, less so.
Wait, what was the other one you put in?
Confession. Rude.
I thought your other word was Marmite.
No, I just went with something savoury. That was from the ether of my own brain.
Oh, this is wonderful.
Oh my God, I'm so random. I should make like YouTube videos.
That was... so fun. I just want to like tell people what was going on during that. So as I was describing the Marmite jigsaw, Jazza is like laying back in his chair and touching his chest sensually.
Yeah, I mean, I've got GCSE drama. I got a C. And so I just like really get into character. Uh-huh. You know? That's what they taught me at Brentwood School. Should I mention the school that I went to?
You just did.
It's too late now.
You just did. Wonderful. How did that make you feel, Jazza?
I could never do that seriously. Like, I'm just, I could never do phone sex seriously.
Really? You know, it's very simple. And it's not just phone sex, like dirty talk in general. It's very simple. You do three things. Mm-hmm. Talk about what you're going to do, mm-hmm. talk about what you are doing, and then you talk about what you just did.
Cool.
That's it.
Yeah. So, makes me feel uncomfortable. but
do you like hearing it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm a very...
I'm like all about, I just need... words.
So during intercourse, I do quite enjoy somebody who is rather vocal.
Uh-huh. We were talking about this with the show with Ash. Screaming.
Although only when it's like genuine. Because otherwise it's slightly off. It's like, you've watched too much porn, haven't you? You're pretending.
We were talking about the screaming thing. Mm-hmm. Or just being loud generally in sex on the show with Ash. And then later someone tweeted me being like, just wait until you have kids and you have to have silent sex. Oh, no. I don't know if they said it that angle, that tone that I used, but
it came across in the tweet.
Yeah.
I feel like just soundproof the kids' room.
Just put headphones on them when they go to bed.
Yeah. Or earplugs.
Play music in their bedroom.
Or just send them over to Gran and Grandad's. That's fine. Play, that's what my parents did.
Like the Harry Potter audiobooks in their ears as they go to sleep.
Oh my God, that's exactly what my parents did.
They were fucking!
Genuinely, that was a penny drop. Wow, my whole childhood has been changed.
They were fucking! Your parents had sex.
No, they didn't. They never had sex. They're
how many siblings
pupils.
Do you have?
Just one. So they only did it twice, and it was purely for procreation purposes.
What about you, gay boy?
I mean, the way that God defines it, I've technically never had sex. No, I've had sex with women, actually, so like a few times. That joke doesn't even work. But yeah, a few times. Why are we comparing numbers? Because I have no idea what mine is.
I'm absolutely not saying on the radio. Like, absolutely not.
No?
There's no way... Nope. Next song. Next song. We're gonna play "Drunk Advice." I was gonna say tweeting for your questions, but this is a pre-record, so I hope you enjoy. You can tweet along. I am gonna be on Twitter as the show mm-hmm. comes out, though, so I will be like live tweeting along with this. So enjoy. Right after this,
the Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
All right, I'm still eating.
Every time, Hannah.
I will never learn!
Ever.
Okay, welcome to Drunk Advice Live!
I'm overly excited about all of these segments. It's great.
We are being filmed right now. Obviously, it's not live because we are not live, mm-hmm. but the video will be online when the show is out. So if you're listening live right now, then FUBAR Radio will tweet out the link and so you can go right there.
Is that the noise the internet makes when you go there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a drill.
So there are three rules to Drunk Advice, Jazza.
Yes, there are. Fuck. Be drunk. Or if you're not drinking, be in the spirit of drunk.
Woo! And we are.
In the spirit of drunk, because it's like the afternoon.
It is 2:30 on a Wednesday.
Which is
currently
acceptable for drinking, but also you have a lot of work to do.
And I have another live show to do right after
yeah,
this.
We're, and we're being grown-ups about it. So it's
we
totally
are.
Fine. And the other one is...
Rule number two.
Rule number two is have a friend with you.
Yes!
Have a friend. Yeah.
Woo! And it's Jazza.
Me. Yeah. what's number three?
Number three is don't take our advice.
Oh, yes. Of course. Mm-hmm. 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 No. Definitely don't. Because mm-hmm. Not qualified for anything, really.
We're just covering our backs. Don't sue us.
Yeah.
Right, ready?
Yes, totally.
I've been house sitting for a workmate and I've totally killed her lawn. What do I do? # I had one job.
House it and killed her lawn.
What does that mean? How did you kill her lawn? Was that just like, did you water it too much?
I feel like...
Or not enough?
How long have has
did
this
you put
person
a tent
been house sitting?
Up in her lawn, in their lawn?
I feel like this must be over a significant period of time, or drought must have occurred in a certain part of the world that we weren't aware of. Because I feel like house sitting only really happens for no more than like a week or 2 weeks. That's not long enough for a lawn to die.
Yeah.
And also, house sitting doesn't seem like an activity that like you should also do the gardening. Water some of the plants. Don't mow the lawn.
Yeah. I think you just be like, mate, sorry, your lawn is dead.
What do I do?
What do I do?
Yeah, it's not your fault. You haven't done something.
What can I do? I can pay for a new lawn, maybe, if you can. Whatever.
This is a wonderfully odd question.
I love it. It's very adult, yeah, isn't it?
I don't have a lawn. I've got a balcony, though, and some dead rosemary on it.
I have the flat below us there, the roof of them.
Oh.
And you can open our window and go out onto their roof. Oh. And it's kind of like a balcony.
Is it not dangerous? Could you like spontaneously fall through into their living room?
No. I think the roof is strong enough that we wouldn't fall through, but because it's not an actual balcony, there's no like fence around it. Yeah. Mm. So we just like sit on the edge and there's a big drop. It's great. do you want to read that one? The one that you're laughing at?
Madeline Norris has asked.
I mean, we don't say their names.
Oh,
but
do
sure.
we not? Oh, sorry.
Too late.
Sorry, Madeline. How do you put yourself out there and let a friend know that you like them?
Mate, Madeline.
yeah, we've ruined this already. Can I just say I am not qualified in this at all because I've never dated a mate.
Oh, I don't know what that noise was. Have I? I don't know. I think I've probably told friends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, have I?
I think it kind of depends on whether you are romantically or sexually interested in them.
I feel like they mean romantically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe both, but not just sexually. Otherwise, I think they would have said, I just want to bone them. Make it clear, Maddie.
I want to do it with them.
Yeah.
Available for pre-order on Amazon.
Yep, out 6th of April. Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. And also, please buy tickets to my tour.
Doing
it live with Hannah Whitton. Mate, this is what you need to do. You just have to sit him down, neutral territory, and just be like, I like you. But also, before that, you have to figure out if those feelings are going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
If the feelings aren't going to go away and it's actually going to put a strain on your friendship, then tell them. If you think that they're fleeting and you'll move on fairly soon, then just focus on moving on and don't tell them.
Do you have a mutual friend with them? And would that friend be able to do a recce for you and try and figure out, test the waters?
It's not their mate's responsibility.
But if you have a friend who'd be willing to do that,
totally
get them to lay out some lines. Like, it's not the friend's responsibility, but I think that's
realistically, that's totally something I would do, but also not something I would advise people to do. You know what I mean? I'm like, be straight, communicate. No, just get your friend. You're like, do you like so-and-so? Because they like you. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, but also, I am really aware of how embarrassing that can be.
Yeah.
And if you really value this person's friendship as well, and you think that it could end up being soured by you procuring your interest in them, then check if it's going to be a safe situation to be able to have that conversation with them. I think that that's okay. But also, the third rule is don't take our advice.
So, do you
want... Hannah disagrees with me.
It's all good. You know your friend best.
Mm-hmm.
You tell them, and you know yourself best. Whatever. Someone's asking about assassinating a coworker. Not a coworker. Why did I say coworker? A significant world leader. I think best to avoid answering that question.
You know, you can
wishful
figure it
thinking.
Out. The internet exists. Google it.
Google it. Good work. After 3 dates with a guy, I still don't fancy him, but we get along. Should I just leave it at this stage? Yes. I think yes.
Yeah, I think so.
You can get along with so many people, but that spark, that fancying someone, like, you can't...
And then also there's, like, the danger of you unintentionally giving somebody the impression that you're more interested in than that you actually are by continuing to have romantic...
Dates with them. Yeah.
And there is the cliche of being the, like, can we, like, invite them out with, like, a group of your friends so that you are in, like, friendship zones rather than specifically romantic zones if you are interested in them as a person and want to hang out with them more?
Yeah. It's very easy
but
to
yeah.
Well, I say it's very, very easy to have these conversations. I remember, like, I had a date with someone from Tinder and we got on really well, but I didn't fancy him at all.
Mm.
And then we would be texting and I don't know how it came up, but it did come up quite naturally. I was just like, I'm not interested in that sense, but I think you're really cool. And he was just like, yeah, me too. And we were like, let's hang out as friends and, like, go out with each other's friends. But then that just never happened anyway. Just, like, fizzled.
And I've had those conversations with people a lot. Like, I think you're a really great guy, but I'm, like, I don't think that there's something romantic that's happening here.
Exactly. And I think the sooner you do that, the better as well, because you're three dates in, which means you've invested time. So I wouldn't invest any more time until you have figured out where you stand, you know? Jazza, do you want to read out this one?
This is fine. I'm totally okay talking about female things. I don't feel comfortable going out and buying things like menstrual cups, but I really want to try them out. Advice?
Buy it online!
Oh, that's actually a really good piece of advice, Hannah.
There you go.
Well done.
And they're great. They're really great. Do not let anything hold you back from trying menstrual cups.
I have a friend who chased me around the room with a menstrual cup. And it is just like
full.
A piece of plastic.
Was it Lena?
No, it wasn't full. It was Lena.
It was Lena. Of course it was Lena.
And she brought out the menstrual cup and was, like, incredibly excited about it.
Yeah.
And
rightfully so.
Like, brilliant. I'm so happy that these things are great for people.
I am pretty sure you can buy them online.
Mm-hmm.
Look up Moon Cups is one brand. Diva Cups is one brand. That's the one I have. Lily Cups. I don't know.
I can't advise on any brands.
It's okay, Charles. Yeah. Don't worry. But yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anything hold you back. Try the menstrual cups. I don't know why I suddenly started going.
Hey!
What's your picture? What's your picture? How do I tell one of my best friends that I have a massive crush/squish on her? I'm also female, but asexual and biromantic. I'd never want to lose her friendship. Do I just keep it to myself?
What? I've never heard the phrase squish before.
Squish. So squish is a, I think, like a non-sexual crush.
That is a brilliant word.
Or is a squish? Or is squish a crush that's a friendship crush? I can't remember. I've heard it being used before in, like, some LGBT
Hannah
circles
Googling.
Online. Squish.
Squish meaning.
But that's what I think it means. Google's like a soft squelching sound.
There's the Urban Dictionary below, and that says that it's a intense feeling of
In the asexual community, the equivalent of a crush, but explicitly lacking an interest of forming a romantic couple or of having a sexual relationship. Sure.
That's a brilliant term, and
so it's
does,
like an intense feeling of attraction or liking or whatever. But
without the
desire to have a relationship or have sex or. Cool. Okay. So this person has a crush/squish.
Mm-hmm. A crush.
Yeah. they are asexual but biromantic.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to lose friendship. Don't just keep it to myself. Okay. So from what we have learned as the definition of crush and squish, I think, first of all, we need to find out if you want to pursue a romantic relationship with your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just have this, like, squish on them.
Because
I think it's totally fine to have a squish on your friend, but not tell them.
So I feel
unless
like
it's eating at you. You know when something's just, like, eating at you and you just, like, need to get it out? Because if you don't want anything out of it, then maybe best to keep it to yourself unless it's really bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do want a romantic relationship with your friend, then I think figure out maybe what they want first. I don't know. Because are they asexual as well? Because, I mean, I know that asexual and non-asexual people can have relationships, but obviously that involves a lot more, like, negotiating and compromise in terms of, like, the sex that you have in the relationship or don't have.
I think that that's a really important point. Knowing where they are in terms of where they stand, like sexually and romantically. Although I assume because you're like best friends that you would know that. I would not rush it.
Yeah.
And just kind of because I feel like from what I have just understood from Squish, I feel like romanticism can kind of has the possibility of blooming a lot more naturally and a lot more passively than perhaps like sexual attraction.
Sure.
And so just there is the opportunity
to spend loads of time with someone.
Like allow it to bloom. Maybe don't feel like you have to define it by anything, and just kind of enjoy this person's company for now. And then if you want to define it later on, if you still feel strongly about this, then have a conversation with them.
I guess it depends if they're your friend and then you're spending all this time together, and in your head you're like, we have a romantic connection here, but then they're like going on dates. Mm-hmm. Still,
yeah,
that might hurt you.
But if you feel hurt by stuff like that, that's when you have to have conversations with people.
Exactly.
Because nobody, no one's a mind reader. And also, I'm sure that your best friend doesn't want to be hurting you as well.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Oh, cute. Okay, we're going to do some more drunk advice right after this song.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
That was the other lip sync song that you did.
Yeah, that's the most recent one. The one where you... So if you go onto the internet and you search for the song...
Never heard of it.
Yeah, who's she? Then you can see a bearded white man dance around in a blue dress and wear lipstick and lip sync to the song.
Love it. Okay, let's do a couple more drunk advice questions.
Yeah.
Do you want to read the first one?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm trying to cut down on my carbs and stuff. Do you have any top tips for getting fit and healthy? I'm doing it pretty well. I'm doing it purely to feel better about myself.
Mate, I am in the same place, except not the cutting down carbs. I guess everyone's different, but in the way that I'm trying to be more conscious about that stuff is eating exactly the same mm-hmm. and exercising more.
So... You want to feel better about yourself.
Exercise endorphins!
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you lose any weight or not. If you exercise, then endorphins are going to make you feel better about yourself anyway.
So this is exactly what I've kind of been going through, doing more organised sport and having fun with activity.
Yeah.
I don't think that my body has changed a huge amount, but I feel so much better about myself.
Yeah. But also
because
you will
of those
be getting fitter.
And you're also getting fitter. And especially when you're doing organised sport, there are measurable ways of being able to see how you're getting fitter as well.
Because you're like, last week I ran that much in this time, or like last week I was out of breath in 20 minutes. Now I'm not getting out of breath until I've been doing it for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Can I talk about cutting down carbs as well?
Yeah.
I will say, and this will not necessarily be popular, but the idea of cutting out a whole food group, I don't think long term is incredibly healthy for the human body.
I don't think that works.
So I think that a really useful way of thinking about your relationship with your food, and I have had complicated relationships with my food in the past, is to think of it as fuel and then every now and again letting yourself have enjoyment out of the food and having enjoyment out of the ritual of making it, going to meals with people.
Making food.
Making
love
food
making
changes
food.
Your life.
I love cooking.
It's really trendy to like, oh my God, I'm like no carbs before marbs. Like I'm not having any rice or potatoes.
One thing that I'm trying to do with food right now is eat until I'm full. Mm-hmm. And then stop eating. Mm-hmm. Because what I have a tendency to do is just, like, I mean, I'm doing it right now, pick and pick. I'm not hungry right now. Mm-hmm. So, like, only eat when I'm hungry. Mm. But what I tend to do is I'm hungry, I make food, I eat the food, and then I love the food, and then I'm no longer hungry, mm-hmm. and then I just keep eating. Mm-hmm. And I've got all this food on my plate, and I'm just like, I'm so full. And then my friends are like, if you're full, stop eating. And I'm like, because we have this culture that we've been like raised, like, you know, I was raised, finish your food on your plate. Starving children in Africa. Mm. And then...
Yeah, like, So I think that in terms of cutting down the carbs, don't think of it like that. Any tips for getting fit and healthy? I would recommend organised sport and
group
like
sport,
group
team sport, if you can.
Find and a team. Feeling better about yourself. If you use your body and feel useful in the way that you use your body, you will feel better about yourself. But don't be chasing an ideal that is like the fallacy of what human bodies are meant to look like.
There we go. That was wonderful.
Thanks, lol.
Next question. Should I drop out of college?
Maybe.
Yeah, we can't answer that for you, mate.
So I dropped out of college. I dropped out of my first master's degree.
Ah!
Did so
I know this?
I don't know. Wait. So do you remember when I lived in Taiwan?
I remember that you lived there, but I don't know if...
So I lived in Taiwan for 6 months and I was starting a master's there. I had a full scholarship. I had a stipend from the Taiwanese government. I was incredibly lucky to be there. I hated the course. And so I kind of... I think there's a powerful thing with college and organised education where you're able to... it can be a bit of a placeholder if you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with yourself. So basically what I did when I dropped out of my first master's was I went to the UK for the holidays and I gave myself... like 6 weeks to find a job that gave me a particular pay rate and was in a particular place and gave me a and was in a particular industry that I knew that I would like and I knew would be useful for me. And I managed to do that because I'd given myself that ultimatum of if you don't have like this safety net around you, then you should probably finish your master's or keep doing your master's. But it completely depends what you're getting out of college. My brother in his final year of uni also had like a bit of a tough time with university where he was like, there's no point in me being here, I may as well leave, when he had like 6 months to go. But what you luckily have is so many resources of clever people and of information and of like people around you that you can still get value out of if you feel like certain parts of your college life are not serving you particularly well. So see it as a wholesome, holistic experience rather than just like the degree's going to be crap, the teaching's terrible. But also look after yourself, make sure that you're safe.
Also, is there, what's your side hustle?
My side hustle now.
No, but that's a rhetorical question for
the
person.
Sorry, I thought it was all about me.
No, Jazza, I hate you. Because, I like what you said about having that safety net. I mean, some people drop out and it's a complete risk and they have no safety net and it works out. But that's not the case for a lot of people. And you've got to... Because you probably... depending on how much college you've already done, you'd be in quite a bit of debt. And it's not... I feel like sometimes it's not good enough just knowing what you don't want to do. You have to have an idea of what you do want to do. But the whole process of elimination thing is like, it is good because you're like, tried that, definitely, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And then you can be like, okay, here are some other options, let's try those. And then you'd be like, nope, this thing...
Yeah, my mate dropped out of college twice. He went to one university, hated it, dropped out, went to another university, hated it, and now is doing a job that he built himself up from, working his way up the ladder. So it's...
Killing it.
It doesn't sound like... Well, I mean, it's a very short tweet, but it doesn't sound like you're particularly fearful. But know that there are opportunities for you outside of college if you want... that option.
Yes. Okay, this can be the last question, maybe. Okay. What cures / minimizes hangovers? What's your go-to thing? My go-to things, I've got three go-to things.
Okay, tell me.
Water, drugs, as in painkillers, and sleep.
Cool. I've never had a hangover.
Oh my, no! No! You're 27!
Yeah, 27, never had a hangover. I felt a little bit queasy after a night out, but I've never... people are, paralysed after...
I'm so jealous. I am now, I don't know what's happening. I have
like two beers, and then the next day I have a banging headache. I'm just like,
ooh. Yeah, man, I'm so lucky. Although apparently my dad has told me that he also didn't have hangovers until he was like in his early 30s, and then they hit him like a freight train.
Oh, so I'm so excited for you.
I'll text you when I have my first hangover.
Please do.
And we can share and revel in the experience.
Oh, also like a fry up.
So I, in order to, like when I'm feeling like ill or when I'm running on lack of sleep, yeah. I always have coconut water because there's loads of electrolytes
it's
in it.
Meant to be good for something.
And I've heard that coconut water is meant to be really good for hangovers as well.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't know.
I like feel sorry for myself, try and drink as much water as possible. I always try and put like a bottle of water by my bed before I go to sleep. Mm. Because when I'm hungover and dehydrated, my mouth dries out when I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
And so I just like wake up like, and I just have to drink. And then if it's really quite bad, I'll need to take some paracetamol. And then I try and get out of bed, put some clothes on and walk down the road to my local greasy spoon and then Brilliant. Sit and eat bacon, sausage, eggs, beans and hash browns. And then go back home and get back into bed.
That is
my that's my routine at the moment for my hangovers.
I want that to that's be like just my life in general.
I hate that it's a routine though, because I feel like it's such a waste of time. I hate that I get hungover.
Yeah, I am not looking forward to it. And I think that when I start having hangovers,
I'm going to have to not.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a really great experience. But it's just like the way that people describe it. It makes, I think that when it starts for me, because it probably will start, I'm going to have to not drink. Because I really enjoy having, like, weekends to do stuff.
Yeah.
And you'd have had, like, 10 years of experience over me. And I'm not going to...
Yes, I will. I currently have, how old am I? I'm 25 by the time this show comes out.
Mm.
Anyway, thanks, Jazza.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being on my show.
Oh, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure. You're brilliant. I think the show is brilliant. I think you're
great. Oh, my God,
great.
Thank you. Buy my book.
I'm trying to have a heartfelt moment and Jazza, then you turn it into a book plug.
I think you're great too. Have this butt plug.
Oh, thanks, mate. I've actually been looking for one. Anyway.
Oh, you can get a discount code. I've got discount codes.
Is this another hashtag ad?
But I'm not paid for this currently, but yeah.
You're walking cliche.
I know. Oh! I'll give you my discount code. thank you guys for listening. Make sure you tune in next week, Wednesdays, 6 till 8 p.m. Mm. And we'll see you.
Toodaloo. Thanks, Jazza. Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes.